unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Well, hello. It is us on a Monday.
Hello, friends.
For the Uncensored Podcast. So if you notice, the intro is a little bit different because we're sort of moving on from the corncast because things are changing and some people are still quarantining and staying at home to be safe. And some people are out and about and just living the time of their lives.
They're wilding out.
I went for a bike ride Saturday morning in downtown St. Pete. And I didn't see, like, a whole lot of people out.
But you went early, though.
Well, I did. And so there were people working out. And then later on, I was downtown for another reason. I was close to downtown. And so I was like, ooh, let me just drive and see how many people are out at restaurants and, like, what does it look like on Beach Drive. Girl, they out there.
They out there wilding out on the beach for sure.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So on Beach Drive in downtown St. Pete, there were plenty of people at the restaurants having fun. And then, like, I saw Sunday morning when I woke up early on Instagram, some of the restaurants that also serve alcohol had turned into, like, a club because – you know, clubs can't open.
Right. Isn't it that you have to have, you can't have more than 50% of your sales from alcohol?
Yeah. Something like that,
and that,
yeah.
That, like, qualifies you as a club and you can't open?
Well, the people that serve food, they turned into club spots. So it was interesting to sort of see who went, what was happening. It just, everyone's dealing with this in different ways, and it's just so fascinating to watch it all sort of play out right now as we go into these different phases of everything opening back up.
Right. I feel like for me, and I think I talked about this on a podcast last week, it's just very confusing.
Yes.
Right. Because, you know, as a member of the media, and so many people like to be like, the media is scaremongering or whatever. And I'm like, no. Well, I mean, I can't speak for any other media outlet, but the way that we do media is that if we get info, we take it in and then we disseminate it to you in a way that's easy to understand. So, like, we see it all. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but, like, I see all of that stuff. And then I see on my Facebook people who are just, like, have gone from, you know, I don't really think that we need to be that worried about this. Or, like, for example, the people that were like, it's just the cold or the flu. Those people that were like that at the beginning are now sort of the people that are like, the government is trying to lock us in and you can't keep us home and something bigger is afoot. And I'm just like, where are we? Like, what can I just really wish, and I guess this is maybe a bad thing, but I do really wish there was, like, one central something that we could look to for truthful, factual information and not all of it being, like, tinged with propaganda.
Mm.
Right? Like, why are we, why? It sucks because as a member of the media, I try to be, you know, as unbiased as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're on the radio, so we give opinion. But, like, the news that we give you, that's, like, news. That's, like, you know, from reputable sources. It's not from, like, eagleflyingsouth.biz. So, I know.
The eagle tears up.
Right.
.gov.
Yeah. Liberallifestyles.org or, like, conservativekathy.net. Yeah.
Like, clearly, conservative Karen is .net, girl.
Oh, yeah.
She is. And I'm, okay, hold on. Let me just say, we're not making fun of anybody named Karen. We're not making fun of conservatives. It's just, I mean, okay, I'm speaking as Miguel Fuller, not representing anybody. And, you know, just to preface it, if you're new to the podcast and you're used to listening to us on the air, we do talk about stuff that we normally don't talk about on the show, like politics. And on the air, I am always like, hey, I want you to vote, 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 vote your conscience. And I will always, to the day I die, say that because so many people fought for our right to vote. And it is so important that you do it. On here, I'm a little more lax with what I believe because usually I'd be like, well, just message me if you are curious or you want some opinions from the liberal side. And I'll make and I'll always preface it with like, I know that when I talk about politics on the podcast, I'm coming from a liberal standpoint and I'll be the first person to tell you that. But I do listen. With that being said, I do feel like if we did not have the president that we have, things would be different on how this is being handled and it wouldn't feel so out of control. Mm. I feel like personally we'd feel out of control because we would have still been under quarantine and stay at home orders and all that stuff.
Right.
But I feel like the total just confusion and so many different voices, it wouldn't happen. And this, I'm talking not just Obama, I'm talking about Bush. Mm. I'm talking about Clinton. I'm talking about Daddy Bush. I just Daddy Bush, okay, we're taking it back.
H.W.?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, there is just, and I'm, if you're, you know what? Because I hate talking about it being so one-sided.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that you don't want to lump anybody all together. Because
no.
Like when we had John Senning on the podcast.
That's who I'm texting right now.
Oh, well, I don't know how much you want to get into it. But, like, you can't just paint all conservatives with one brush and all liberals with the other. And what we came to when we did have John Senning, who is, you know, in our building and works on our sister station and is conservative-leaning, we all came to the fact that, like, we're all somewhere in the middle.
Right.
We lean one way or another, but no one is as extreme as most of the people that you see and hear from because the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right. No, it's true. I mean, and the thing that I want to ask him is the statement I was about to make about our president and how he's handling this. I just feel like this would be a whole different situation we'd be going through right now. And I feel like we're having to worry about some things because he's just messing it up day after day where there's no central message. They're fighting amongst the governors. Like if our president was like, this is what we need to do to stay safe. I feel like you wouldn't have some of these groups that have popped up that are like, we want to sue because we want to open up because we'd be like, we want to help our people.
Hello?
At the tone. Dang
it. Oh, God.
He might be doing yoga.
Oh.
He started doing yoga. And so we
I'm here
like,
for
it's,
it.
I know, right? I'm super excited for him. But that's why I feel like there's confusion and there's like so many different, and even if it was Bush or Obama, you would still have the other side of whatever. If it was Bush, it'd be the liberals. If it was Obama, it would be the conservatives, that they would feel like it wasn't handled the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But just as a, here is a singular message, because like I was reading yesterday that, you know, I'm not going to go there because I don't remember all the facts of it.
Oh.
But it was like with the people that come up with the preparedness plan that like they write the playbook for what we should do in this instance. Like they were fired by Trump.
Mm. So what, like recently?
Yes, it was like I don't remember exactly because that's why I don't want to like try to quote the article.
Oh, yeah,
so I don't remember if it was like before or after.
Right.
But he fired them. And they weren't replaced.
Right. But see, didn't that have to go all the way? Like, this is what's so hard. Because if you say something like that, then it's like, oh, well, like, what the heck? But then you've got people that are like, well, actually, it was Obama's fault.
Right.
Well,
right.
Actually, it was George W.'s fault. Like, right. It's always going to be somebody's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just, like, I guess we're not swearing too much on our podcast anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we not just bleeping fix it?
Right.
I don't care whose fault it is.
Right.
Just fix it. Like, why does it matter? Just fix it.
Right. Like, I feel like we would have been in a better place if Bush or Obama were in office, where all the states would have worked together, and if they had, like, a different tiered system, sort of like we're doing in Florida, where it's like, we're under one set of rules in Miami, Broward County, they're in a different because they're a little bit more of a hot spot than we are.
Right.
So it would totally make sense that like somewhere like Idaho where there aren't a lot of people or South Dakota where there's not a lot of people, it would be a little bit different.
Yes.
But them all working together, it would have made such a difference.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what's so frustrating is that there are so many mixed messages of like, remember for like a week we were like, is Dr. Fauci going to get fired?
Yeah.
It was like, and then people are like, well, you can't believe him. He yeah. has. And it's like.
So now we've like discredited everybody.
Yes.
Or the people. And because I feel like the American people decided that, you know, the safer at home was over.
Right.
But mm-hmm. the problem with that, and that's fine. Like, that's what we do as one people. But it's not like you just move on and then everything is fine.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just decide there's not a virus because there is. So I don't know. My mom is one of those people that has decided. It's done. So we're going.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Margaret's over it. Well, I mean, and to be fair, I get it. Like, I can put my mind in that headspace because she left the house on March 13th, and I was like, what are you doing? So I was like, you are not leaving the house, mm-hmm. ma'am. No, ma'am. And then, so she was fine. And then I would say within the last probably week and a half or so, you know, she's just been like antsy and
it's,
and she was already pretty homebound anyways, because she doesn't have her license, or she does have her license, but she doesn't have a car. She can't drive.
Right.
So, you know, her going places would depend on me taking her places, like the grocery store, church,
mm-hmm.
Target.
Right.
Now she hadn't gone anywhere in over 2 months. And I think that she had just like mentally had it.
Mm.
So that's why she wanted to go out to the store last weekend. And then, today, which is Monday, May 18th, she wants to go to the grocery store. She doesn't want to give me a list. She wants to go. And I'm like...
And does she understand the risk?
Yeah, I think she does. I think she understands that, you know... Well, she knows that the virus is not like a hoax.
Right.
She understands the virus is out there. But she's also of the mindset now, I think, where she's like, well, if I get it, it's my time anyway. And I'm like, oh... So, like, there's only, again, I don't like confrontation, and her and I already have a lot of different confrontational points in right. our relationship. So now for me, I'm just like, you know, I did the best I could with having an at-risk mm-hmm. mom and daughter in a home, and I tried to be as safe and careful as I could.
Right.
But now that America has decided this is over, I have no say anymore. So she's like, well, I'm coming with you to the grocery store. And I'm like, okay.
Mm.
If you don't want to protect yourself, why should I?
Right.
And that's how I feel like with a lot of people, where they're like, well, you can't keep me in. Well, no, bitch, go out then.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally, and like I was toying around with this where I'm like, I want to like make her wear the mask and what, you know, be careful and whatnot. But now I feel like I'm going to go home today and just be like, come on. Like, I'm just going to, it's almost to a point where I'm like, I don't care. If you want to go and do this, do it how you want to. What, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
So it's like having a kid.
Right.
You know, where I'm like, well, I mean, I raised you as best I could. It's your decision if you don't want to, you know, wear a mask or anything. So I'm not going to require her to wear one.
Does she not want to wear one?
She wore one when we went out to the, remember I had a story about Tuesday morning. We were going to go to Home Goods, but it was closed. So we went to Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. I made her wear one of those N95 masks and she like bitched about it the whole time. She was like, I can't breathe. It's so hot. Which, again, to be fair, they are hot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
They are uncomfortable.
My breath smells a whole lot when I wear them.
Yeah, that's something that happens. But then she's like itching underneath it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's, you've missed the point. So it's like, I think it's just frustration from me because I tried really hard to like make sure everything was like very safe and everything. And I'm just like, well, I did my best. I feel like I did my part to flatten the curve, which is really what this whole thing was about, was, you know, not overwhelming the hospitals with sick people. So now it's like, if people want to go out and get sick because they think it's no big deal, that's fine, as long as we're not overwhelming the hospitals anymore.
Right.
I'm trying not to get it because some of the people that I know with it have had like horrific experiences, but not everybody does. This virus is so crazy. We don't know anything about it. So I don't know. I'm going to go out to my safe spots and I'm going to continue to be safe, wear my mask, and
Scott, how has your girlfriend been about it? you know, with her studying to be a dentist, and she's being a part of the medical community. I mean, still learning, you know, her first year in dental school. Yeah. But how has her thoughts evolved about this over time?
I mean, she's definitely still on the side of, like, I'm not going out if I could prevent it. I don't want to, because she's living with her parents right now, who would be, you know, more at risk than her and I. So she's not trying to, God forbid, bring anything home. But she also is on the side of, like, yes, like, it is time to start opening things up. It is time to slowly get back to normal life, because that's what this whole thing was for, to take a little break, not have everything just go crazy, and then get back to normal life. But she's deciding that it's like, she's not going to be the one that's like, oh, all my girlfriends, let's go get some brunch. Mm. Like, she's still going to keep her circle small for as long as she can while she's at home with her parents. Right. And obviously, like, she has a whole background of, like, studying, like, microbiology and seeing how these things, like, work and how viruses go. And I think that keeps her on the side of, like, you know, just more so annoyed at people's posts that are like, why would you believe the CDC? It's like, well, they get paid a lot of money to do that.
We're having I'm going to believe, my neighbor, right, who has nothing to do with the medical community.
What he said makes sense. So believe what you want.
That just been another thing that just bothers me is that, like, if you have not spent your career studying something, why am I going to take your non-educated mind about that? You know, like, when it comes to whatever the industry is, when it comes to business, like, why are you going to take my, I'm not going to listen to you that has never run a business before, that I don't know. I don't know what it's like. I'm going to talk to the person who's run a business or who studied science and diseases their entire life. Have you ever been in a hazmat suit with the droppers looking at the petri dishes of diseases in the basement, yeah, you know, in 15 stories underground at the CDC? Unless you've done that, then why the F would I listen to what you have to say about this? And that, to me, is what's so frustrating, is that these people, like Dr. Fauci, have spent their entire career studying this. Like, I watched this whole video about Dr. Fauci. He was one of the first people that discovered HIV and AIDS.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
So you're fucking telling me that this person who's been on the forefront of science forever is wrong, but you, mm-hmm, reading Facebook posts, you are smarter than him?
But Miguel, you have to look at his motives.
I'm sorry. It just infuriates me. Infuriates me.
You're a blind sheeple, Miguel, and you just follow people with a PhD.
Man. Just call me a sheep, girl.
I will.
I'm sorry, Scott. You're talking about your girl.
No, that's exactly pretty much what our conversation
exploded.
Was yesterday. That was our conversation, weirdly enough. But
oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm at a loss. But I will say, though, is I say all this and I'm not somebody who's locking myself in my house, who's not doing anything. I am going out. Like, we went out to eat to, what's the brewery? The big one.
Three Daughters?
Three Daughters, yeah. We went to Three Daughters after Abe and our friends did their big bike first training for the charity bike ride they do in the fall. And Abe called me and was like, I think we're going to go and grab a bite to eat there. And I was like, call me when you get there and let me know how many people are there. What does it look like? Yeah. And it was, like, very sanitary. There were not a lot of people there. And they had the tables distance, and then people were constantly going around and they were cleaning up, and everything was, like, disposable. And I was like, okay, cool, I feel safe.
Yeah.
But then I've seen some people's Insta story at some places where it was like, girl, it looks like there is, like, 80 people up in that bitch shoulder to shoulder and they're just going at it. And I'm like, ooh. Because then these people are then going to go to the grocery store the next day, not knowing who in that building has had it, and then just spray it all over.
That's the problem.
So that's where, like, right now I'm debating whether or not, because we're going into Memorial Day weekend, and normally at this time, one of my best friends from college comes into town. Usually we do, like, a pool party at one of my friend's house. Then we do brunch Sunday somewhere. And obviously you can do brunch. Restaurants are open.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just a little nervous on if I want to do that or not I don't know. I haven't made that decision yet.
Yeah.
Because I've had some friends ask me, and they're like, are we going to do brunch? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe in a hazmat suit or not. I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't know.
Like, when do you know to do it? Like, when is it okay? Because there's never going to be just a little, like, switch that goes.
I think it is your own personal
it's
thing.
It's time for brunch.
Whenever you decide it is.
Yeah.
That's when it's okay for you. Because some people decided it's okay for them now.
Right.
Some people won't decide for another month. I mean, it's just, that's going to be the personal aspect of how do we go back into society? I don't even like the term new normal anymore because it's gotten to be so cliched and it's like people are what do you mean new normal? This isn't normal. So are we normalizing how it's going to be? Because I feel like everything is going to be sort of temporary.
Right.
You know, like everything is play it by ear. There's no normal.
So it's our temporary situation.
Right. And it's like we're not going to go back to the way it was pre-pandemic.
Right.
And I think some people think that. And it's just, I don't think it's possible to fully not give any F's about a virus.
Right. I mean, I'm curious how it is going to change. I mean, like, you know, we saw last week that Twitter, I believe, is that the company that said that they're not going to require, did they say they're going to work from home or they're not going to require?
They said if you're working from home now, you can do so indefinitely.
Right. Like that.
That's
blows
crazy.
My mind that, I mean, you have an entire billions of dollar company that all of a sudden they're like, all right, if you want to stay home and do it, you can.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my brain around that. And so it's going to be interesting to see what else changes over time as we sort of come from this point of dealing with COVID-19. And then, too, like, what's going to happen in the fall? Or is it? And then when people start, I don't know.
Well, I'm curious about what'll happen when concerts come back. What will happen with that? And it's like, can we just all agree that it is a complete and utter joke about taking people's temperatures, like outside of a venue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, thousands of people.
Well, not only that.
But what does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything because, like, people would be coming in that don't have fevers.
Right.
And you could still have the virus.
Right.
The fever is not the defining moment of this virus.
Right.
Some people get it. Some people don't. So, someone could have a fever and have, like, a cold. So you're going to ban them? Like, that seems like a waste of time and money to me, is checking for temperatures. It seems like they want to look like they're doing something.
Yeah.
When in reality, there's nothing you can do.
And let me say this too, because I mean, if you're already pissed off, like I'm sure you stopped listening a while ago, but I'm saying this while also having lots of empathy. If you work at Emily Arena or Ray J and you work concessions and you haven't been able to work since March.
Right.
And like that was your sole income. Please know that like, my heart breaks because there are so many people that are going through the food lines that the kids, they're like stressing out about how to feed their kids.
Right.
I mean, I cannot imagine that agony. And there's usually like a couple of times a day where I'll run across a post or I'll see a video or something and I'm just like, ugh, my heart just breaks for people. And the stories that are coming out that this pandemic is really showing the economic inequalities that exist.
Yes, yes.
And the people that just have to live paycheck to paycheck. How, I mean, this is just shining a huge freaking spotlight that the way that our country is set up and the way that our economy is set up, it is not fair for so many people that work day in and day out, that have bachelor's degrees, or even if you don't, but you've worked your ass off your entire life, and then all of a sudden, with a snap of a finger, you can't put food on the table. My heart just breaks, and I wish I was rich, and I could just, like, go buy food and stock your fridge. My heart hurts. So know that when we talk about this, I understand that there's a lot of difficult decisions to be made.
Oh, absolutely. People are suffering.
All right, let's cheer this up a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't mean for this to go down that route the whole time. There has been a big update with roommate Dylan and his virtual reality game show that he's on.
Dang. Oh, okay, okay.
Let's talk to him.
Hello.
Roommate Dylan, welcome to the podcast.
Well, Miguel, thank you for the warm welcome.
Absolutely. So you are on, wait, what are y'all are calling it? Quarantined?
Quarantined is the name of the game.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So, Holly, can you catch us up exactly with what this is that roommate Dylan's been doing?
From what we understand, it's sort of like a virtual Big Brother / Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've seen those shows on TV, right? So, like, they put, you know, however many strangers in a house or on an island together, and then, you know, they voted someone off week by week. It's that, but with... Excuse me, but like with quarantine-ness, so like obviously no one's getting together in some random house. Dylan's doing it from your house and mm-hmm. other people all around the country, because it's all around the country, right, Dylan?
Correct.
Yeah, so all around the country are like logging into the virtual home, I'm assuming, and like, you know, chatting with each other, building alliances, making deals, and it's been fascinating.
And you started with how many people?
We started with 16 people.
All right. Have you been voted out, or have you made it to the top?
I have made it to the top four.
Oh my God! That is crazy.
Oh my gosh, the top four. Okay, so you have a friend that you entered into this with who was doing it as well. Have they been voted out, or are they in the top four as well?
I have somehow managed to keep my one friend in the game, so we are both in the top four. It is looking good right now.
Holy moly. Gosh. Do you two have, like, the final two deal together?
See, we have a final two deal. However, she has another good friend in the game, and I don't know if I am her real final two deal.
Oh, so you may be stabbed in the back.
I may be stabbed in the back, and let me tell you, I have stabbed other people in the back.
What have you done?
I finally won power in the game. When we were at six people, I won the head of household competition, and I was in a big alliance of four people,
mm-hmm.
and I was at the bottom of that four people. They all had each other's backs, and I would have come in fourth place had I not done something about it.
What did you do? Oh, gosh.
I feel so guilty about it. Sophie, I'm so sorry if you're listening to this.
Oh, my God.
But I had the sole vote to evict, essentially, along with another player, and we decided to vote Sophie out, thus turning my four-person alliance into a three-person alliance against two other people, which kept us in power.
Oh, my God.
But it was a dirty move, and I do not feel good about it.
You voted someone in your own alliance out. So if you ever watch these shows, I mean, when people do that, usually they're looked at as either being very smart and cunning or rude and backstabby. And usually I'm always like, well, girl, this is a game. I didn't come here to make friends.
Right.
I came here to win. How are people viewing you in the house now?
So I think it actually was a good move, because the entire game, that four-person alliance was running the game. And I think it's frustrating for people to watch because we're just winning everything.
Mm.
And people are going out one by one. So I wanted to kind of shake it up. So I think it was looked at as good by members of the jury who are going to vote between two people to win at the end.
All right. So when does this wrap up? When do we find out if you actually took the top spot?
It wraps up tonight. We're doing three competitions and we're voting tonight. So y'all got to wish me good luck.
Oh my God.
Wow. Okay.
I'm so excited. Like, you would think that you're literally on like the TV show.
I know.
Crazy.
Honestly, it feels like it. And Holly, you won't believe the things I have done in this competition and the things that other people have done. I'm just going to give you maybe three highlights.
Okay.
In other competitions, one of the activities we had to do was to text an ex, and if they respond within 10 minutes, we get 10 points in one of the games we played.
Oh my God.
I did it. My ex responded within 2 minutes, so ooh, I got my 10 points. And the final challenge in one of these was there were two people left, and both of them had to pick a number between 1 and 100. And whoever picked the highest number had to shave that percentage of their eyebrow.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
And if they didn't do it, then they lost. If they did shave their eyebrow, then they won the competition.
Oh, wow.
Some girl shaved off 25% of her eyebrow.
Oh.
This is intense.
Oh, my gosh. And what was the last, the other thing?
Oh, my God. Miguel, the reason you didn't hear from me for 2 hours yesterday was because we had an endurance competition where we all had to hold a soup can above our heads for as long as possible.
How long did you hold this soup can?
I held a soup can over my head for 100 minutes.
What?
That's nuts. That's absolutely
in
nuts.
The hell?
Wait, so you were just in your room a Sunday afternoon just with a can over your head?
Listen, I fully recognize, like, let it be known, I fully recognize how ridiculous this sounds. And everyone in the game, like, we were all talking on Zoom, and we were all like, there is something seriously wrong with us, but we are all just so competitive. We were telling jokes the whole time. I had Netflix on. You know, we were all talking, but the funny thing is, I did not even come close to winning. The people who won held the soup can above their head for 150 minutes. Clock that. That's 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And
my arm is still sore.
Of course.
That is insane. So, I'm glad that you found something to do in this time of COVID-19.
Yes.
It just really makes me happy that you found something. Do you think that you're going to be friends with these people after the situation is over with?
I think I'll be friends with most of them, but maybe not the girl who shaved her eyebrow off, because we did end up voting her out.
Oh.
After she shaved off her eyebrow.
Did she, like, go off on y'all?
No, she was actually really sweet about it. She understands the game. Almost everyone has been really good about it when we vote them out. We all understand this is just a game. It's just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Although some people have not been taking it so well.
Like, have you had anybody, like, blow up on you all as they got voted out?
There was, yes. You know, there was a soup can scandal because one person, like, turned around too quick to say hi to their sister and they were out. It led to another person crying because it was the whole thing. Some people have been getting a little bit upset over it, but... You know, for the most part, it's been all games and fun.
Wow. All right. And so have you all still decided on if there's going to be a prize at the end for all of the shenanigans?
You really keep pushing that question, do you?
Yes. I just feel like you're putting in a lot of work here. Uh-huh. I've never seen you care about something this much ever, except for dogs. You love dogs. That's about it. But
I do love dogs.
You're investing so much time and energy into this. And if you get the top spot, I mean, are they going to, like, give you $100 or something?
It's bragging rights. It's bragging rights of winning the first ever competition. And their plan is to continue to have more of these. They're hoping to continue it, maybe even make a business out of it. So if they do it, I can say I was the very first winner of this successful game show.
Roommate Dylan.
Wow.
All right. Well, we will check in with you tomorrow on the podcast as well to see
what happened.
If you want. I'm so curious.
Me
My
too.
Gosh.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. I need it.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Dylan.
All right. Bye, guys.
Well, I'll see you later tonight at the house.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. I mean, you got three Probably competitions won't. To do.
That's just insane. Okay. All right, we're done for the day. Holly, what's the social media?
Radio Holly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott.
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Mine is Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. You can find me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and still on Snapchat. All right. Make sure to listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored on the Hot 101.5 app, iTunes, and on Spotify, Google Play as well. And just make sure to rate and subscribe. Bye.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.